This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Communities along both sides of the Mississippi River are known for their unique geography, with bluffs and valleys that provide plenty of scenic views and recreational opportunities. Back in December, we talked about a new group of local governments and conservation organizations from Wisconsin and Minnesota working together to protect the driftless terrain. Today, we'll hear an update from the Blufflands Coalition about their plan to preserve the bluffs and encourage new use in our region. Joining us are Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, Eric Johnson, Winona County Zoning Administrator, and Marvin Wanders, board member of the Outdoor Recreation Alliance. Charlie, could you just give us an update about where the Blufflands Coalition is at? You know, what's kind of happening right now?
We just completed the draft of the Blufflands Plan, and it was adopted by the La Crosse Area Planning Committee. So away we go. Basically, it gets us off and running. The Blufflands Coalition will start to now meet and discuss how we organize more officially rather than just as a plan, and how we take this plan and use it for direction moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you mentioned the plan, and which was released in May, and your group then held a meeting for public feedback. Charlie, what were some of the things that you learned from that meeting?
We had, again, good participation in the meeting. There's a lot of public interest here. The one thing that we found throughout this process is the facilities that we have are very heavily used. People have Blufflands and recreation in the Blufflands as one of their primary things that they like to do. And so the facilities that we have a lot of use. And so getting this plan in place and getting moving forward and getting more active as far as providing more space for people to participate and to be active, we'll take a little pressure off the existing trails. So we know there's some damage because of it and good and bad things, you know. So what we found is people are interested. People do this a lot. It's a great amenity for our area, and so we really need to get at it.
And Marvin, this group is not necessarily new, even though there's been some really big steps recently. Can you kind of take us back and talk a little bit about, how and why this idea for protecting the bluffs on a regional level kind of happened?
You're correct. This is not new. I mean, I think people in this area are so passionate about our natural resources and being outside that this has been taking place in one version or another for years and years and years. I would say the concerted effort has taken place in the last 10 to 15 years, where there's several different groups working on conservation efforts in the region. There's groups working on recreation in the region, whether it's a new trail system, whether that's hiking or mountain biking or trail running. There's events that are starting to take place in the area. We just hosted yesterday what is known as the Hixton Epic, which is a mountain bike race locally that brought people from all over the Midwest. So the components of this have been taking place in one fashion or another for a long period of time. What's nice now is that all of the groups are joining in this coalition to really make it a statement for our region. And I think this is going to go a long ways to protecting the resource and giving people access to the lands and the waterways.
And one thing that's definitely unique about, this new coalition is that it involves both Wisconsin and Minnesota. You know, Eric, how have both states really been working, I guess, in tandem before this to kind of conserve the bluffs? Can you kind of do a compare and contrast, maybe?
Well, sure. Other than the Mississippi River, I think we share the same geographical feature as our counterparts on the Wisconsin side. Obviously, the bluffs are probably the crown jewel of this area, whether it's working on a bluffland plan or in my line of work, we're dealing with zoning ordinances and comprehensive plans. And what comes front and center in most of those discussions that are grassroots driven is the protection of bluff and bluff land. And it's the reason why I think people in this area select La Crosse, Winona, to settle because of the recreational opportunities and the inspiration that the blufflands give them. So in other aspects of bluffland protection, there is probably the highest degree of biodiversity and sensitive lands, and it basically holds the best habitat for some of our resources that we have. So it just seems reasonable to work collectively with all entities that share those blufflands.
And I've heard another member of the coalition point out that, you know, for the people in Wisconsin and vice versa for the people in Minnesota, that, you know, the opposite side of the river is their scenic view, you know, looking out across the river. So, you know, it's good for both sides to want the other side to also, you know, conserve their bluff lands. You know, how much do you think that is also a factor in coming together?
Well, it's a huge, as you have committees and groups and various recreational groups, that people are demanding, I think, that consideration. So that is something that, you know, it will aid, I think, all the communities move forward as far as how that can be a seamless approach to share this wonderful asset that we have.
And Charlie, can you remind us, you know, what are all the local governments and organizations that are involved in this new coalition?
Well, to start with, it's the three counties, Houston County, Winona County, and La Crosse County. But then you go down to the municipal level, City of La Crescent, City of La Crosse, City of Onalaska, the Village of Holman, Village of West Salem are a little bit further out on the periphery, and then all the towns are part and parcel of this. But then we have all of those organizations too, private nonprofits that are very active. So there's a lot of participants to try to get their input from and give some measure of direction to. But that's really a lot of fun. You get to meet so many new personalities and talk with a lot of people that are very passionate about what they do.
Is that a challenge though, to kind of wrangle everyone in the same direction?
Oh, yeah, there's always challenges, but that's what keeps us young.
And so, you know, when selecting stakeholders, was the net cast pretty wide, or, you know, were there definite groups that you knew you wanted to be involved in this?
Yeah, we had a year to do this, and so we kept the net fairly narrow. We kept it pretty tight. We're really looking at the blufflands from down by Goose Island, up to just north of Holman, and then on the Minnesota side about the same distance, south to north. And so the stakeholders are really those stakeholders that act within that geographic boundary.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about efforts to protect the area's bluffs and promote recreational use throughout the region. We're here with Marvin Wanders from the Outdoor Recreation Alliance, Zoning Administrator Eric Johnson from Winona County in Minnesota, and La Crosse County Planner Charlie Handy. And so, you know, let's talk about the master plan that's been, you know, approved and is now kind of moving forward. And I know that there are six big ideas as part of that master plan. And Marvin, do you want to kind of walk us through what those are?
Sure. I think I would start by saying that one of the real benefits of this and the big six ideas is the fact that, you know, our natural resources and our habitat and wildlife and recreational users don't really know boundaries. And so that's one thing that this plan does, is it kind of eliminates some of those boundaries. And for that to happen, it really takes a commitment to cooperation amongst all of the different players involved. The winners at that, at the end of the day, are going to be our natural resources if we really commit to that cooperation. The land will be protected and connected so that future generations can use that land and recreate on the land for whatever type of recreation it is that they enjoy, whether that's hiking or bird watching or mountain biking or snowshoeing or cross-country skiing. Connecting people to the land is important. And the third thing would be trails, whether it's water trails and canoeing and kayaking, or it's land trails, and that could be a lot of different types of land trails. It could be wide trails for cross-country skiing, whether it's skate skiing or traditional classic skiing, And it could be single track, it could be shared use, whether it's trail runners, mountain bikers. But that came out very loud and clear from the public, is they want access and they want to be able to recreate on this land. Restoration. There's a lot of, anytime you have people on land over a period of time, there's areas of the forest and there are waterways that we need to restore, and we need to have a conscious effort to do that. The other thing is many sites, one brand. Again, users from outside the area, if we can create one brand and brand this region, it really helps from an economic development tool for our local businesses when it comes to hire the best and the brightest. Users don't know where municipal borders start and stop. They go to an area to recreate or to live because of the quality of life and the amenities that they have. And then at the end of the day, none of this happens without funding. We have to have dedicated funding if we're going to have these public lands with public uses in order to maintain them appropriately for the future generation. So that's kind of the six big ideas that came out of this plan.
Mm-hmm. And talking about funding, that piece of the equation, and that's always the big question, I think, at the end of the day. You know, Eric, what are you guys looking at as far as being able to fund this project?
At this point, you know, there's no known budget or figure, but I think it has to be looked at to be a position to take action should the opportunity arise. The lands that we've had in Winona County have come up by a matter of coincidence, where you have private property owners that are trying to make long-term decisions with their property and recognize potentially the public value. So I think we have to strategically look at where those best sites are, and if that is something that falls within a bluff land management plan, that would give us opportunity to perhaps take advantage of some grants or some funding, or the, utilize private entities to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm. And Charlie, I know that at the public information meeting back in May, that there was talk of some sort of a property tax kind of to fund this project. Do you want to talk a little bit about that idea?
Well, we surveyed the public, and we got over 600 responses in that survey, which was a significant amount of responses. Obviously, it's a self-selected group because of their passion for this, but there was a significant percentage, over two-thirds, that were willing to see an increase of their property tax of somewhere between $15 and $50 a year to pay for this type of public amenity. So that's something that we'll get in front of our policymakers for them to see and decide if this dedicated funding is something that they're willing to support. We'll be asking that this fall and next fall and the fall after that. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll see if they feel this is worthy of spending the public's dollar. And we hope it is. But again, that's for them to decide.
And with the property tax, is there any concern that might, you know, place a lot of the funding burdens on certain areas that maybe have more valuable property?
Not really. It's a very small amount if you take it down to the level of per capita or per assessed value. And those properties that have a little bit higher value, you know, the difference is pennies, really. So no, we really didn't see a concern there. It's we're talking about good projects and a fairly small amount of increase in property taxes. But again, that's not for us to decide. That's for the policymakers. So we'll see how they feel.
And Eric, I mean, is there any concern that that would be a challenge involving both, you know, Wisconsin and Minnesota and that kind of across the river?
Yes, I would agree. You know, local unit budgets are kind of tough. They're maxed out. So, yes, any increased expenditures is always going to be a challenge. But, again, it's up to the policymakers, as Charlie mentioned. So,
absolutely. You know, and talking about this, I know this is a new approach definitely for this region, but Marvin, are there, you know, other projects or groups that have done something similar that you guys are looking to for inspiration, I guess?
Well, there's a lot of communities that we know. You know, you mentioned Chattanooga, Tennessee, for example, and people know what they've done as a region when it comes to outdoor recreation. You know, it used to be one of the dirtiest cities in America and was actually titled that. And they made a conscious effort as a community to really change who they were. And because of that, if you look at Chattanooga today, it's a completely different community, and it's attracting young people. It's attracting the talent worker. It's attracting new companies to the area because of what they've created. So I would contend that this is pretty visionary for our leadership and the people involved to really make a statement for who we are as a region when it comes to economic growth. I think the other thing, and just skipping back to the property tax proposition a little bit, there's been a lot of studies with the property tax, and when you create these type of amenities in an area, it's just like waterfront property. We know what happens to waterfront property, and so there's been a lot of studies. The closer your residence is to a trail, the more value there is to you from a property owner standpoint when you go to sell your property down the way. So there is real economic value and support for individuals and for the community and for the region by heading down this path.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Marvin, how quickly do you think we're going to see some of these changes starting to roll out from the master plan?
So I think the master plan has already started to make changes. People are talking about what can they do in their neighborhood. For example, how can they connect their neighborhood to the trail system? There's public lands that, you know, have been sitting idle. Now all of a sudden there's discussions of, well, we could connect this parcel with this parcel with this parcel to really connect the community and connect those lands. I think that by itself, just this discussion, has facilitated thought, you know, that have projects in the works. And you have people that, you know, maybe have not been thinking about this in the past that are now talking about it. And I really think you are working across borders, and I think that's very healthy. So I think you're going to see a lot of projects come out of this. It's a marathon. This is not a sprint. And this will be a living process, right? We're not going to get it done in 2 years or 5 years, but with the vision that's there over the next 15 to 20 years, we can certainly make a very large impact for this community in this region.
Absolutely. And Charlie, are you seeing some of this kind of inspiration and idea stimulating work from coming out of this plan?
Oh, most definitely. The other thing, too, is it's also fairly complementary to the work that's been done already. I mean, we have over 3,000 acres in these blufflands that are protected already. So, you know, the thought is we're more than halfway there. If we get to 6,000 acres of protected, we'll be very close to meeting many of the goals in this document. So it's been really good to see, you know, individually we've worked towards our own individual goals, and we've already accomplished so much. So it's great to see. We've been getting calls from landowners who might be interested. And if we can get them to the right location, to the right person, the right member of this coalition, that might work out, and it might work out great for the public.
Right, and I know that you guys aren't necessarily, you know, the coalition will not own the lands, that those will still be either private landowners or Mississippi Valley Conservancy or even the city governments. You know, can you talk a little bit about how that will all kind of work in tandem?
Well, the preferred method is not to own it in fee simple title, but to own an easement. And that way the owners can still do things that they want to do on the land, but those portions of the land then are available for recreation, they're available for conservation or environmental things. And so the real important part of this document was figuring out which member of the coalition is best suited to take on those duties, which allows us the most flexibility in gaining those benefits for the public. And so those things are going to vary. We've got the Outdoor Recreation Alliance talking about having a land trust available to them, which would be more for recreation. The MVC has a very good track record as a conservation land trust. And so those are two very diverse tools that we can use. But great, you know, if it needs to be conserved, then we'll go talk to the MVC, and they'll be the primary on the project. If it needs to be recreation, then we'll go talk to Aura, and they'll be the primary on the project. So that's another thing that's been great about the plan, is it's really identified some of the weaknesses we had in the past.
And Eric, I know that Minnesota is a little bit different mm-hmm. in Wisconsin in the way that some of these land trusts work. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, what the state has available to them?
Right. I guess the main message would be there's no one single guiding method or organization that would basically take precedence. What we have, I know in Winona County, is we have a large track that is owned by the county as a county park, so it fits very well into a plan of such that would be coordinated with other key properties that may have an interest. We have a Minnesota Land Trust, which is a nonprofit to work with property owners to explore basically good management plans for large tracts of land. They give up some rights as far as building and developability by trading off for protections for bluff land. That is one. There's other conservancy groups that work to gain easements. The Minnesota DNR, obviously a state entity, there is some state lands that exist in the Bluff Country, as well as other properties that might, you know, fit that mold that could work into a patchwork of continuity for a trail or for you know, something to that regards.
Eric Johnson, Winona County Zoning Administrator, is here with us today to talk about the work of the Blufflands Coalition, a group made up of area governments and conservation organizations working to promote and preserve the Blufflands. Also joining us is Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Marvin Wanders, board member of the Outdoor Recreation Alliance. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on how regional conservation efforts could encourage new use of the area's unique terrain. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to more information about the Blufflands Coalition and their plans for the area. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're checking in with a regional group of local governments and conservation organizations about their plans to protect the area's iconic blufflands. Over the years, many stakeholders have partnered together to preserve the blufflands on both sides of the Mississippi River. But the new Blufflands Coalition could do a lot to expand and promote the use of this unique terrain. Newsmaker student producer Matt Clark has more on what this plan means to area residents and potential newcomers to the Driftless area.
Robbie Young has a passion for bike riding.
I've been riding since I was 15 or 16 years old. I picked up a copy of Bike magazine at my orthodontist's office, and I saw the rad pictures, and I said, I need to go see what that's all about.
Young has been riding up and down the La Crosse area blufflands for over a decade and says he enjoys being able to cover so much ground.
You can only go so far walking into the woods, but on a bike you can go see 20 miles of the surrounding terrain.
The La Crosse area has long been known for its natural features, bringing people from around the country to enjoy fishing, hiking, and other outdoor activities. But it's been over a century since Hickson Forest was established and over 40 years since the Bicentennial Trail was created. Now, the La Crosse Area Planning Committee is trying to bring the entire La Crosse-La Crescent region together so that all the bluffs can be protected and connected by a shared-use trail. Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy, Carol Abrahamson, one of the groups working with the LAPC, says having an entire system of connected trails helps the economy of the region and the well-being of those who live there.
It's also important for both physical and mental health to the people who perhaps live in the city here but need to get a little bit away from sidewalks and streets and out into a more natural setting.
Young hopes the system would create new interest from people in the community because the current outdoor offerings are being overlooked.
For every person I meet out on the trails, I probably run into half a dozen more who are in the area and have never been out here. So I try to go check it out.
Young says the protection plan may also help change the stereotype that some people from outside of the area have about the region.
I meet so many people who still think of the Midwest as flyover country, as flatland, and as soon as they come into La Crosse, when they drop into that Mississippi River Valley, they go, I had no idea.
Young also says although the La Crosse area has already done work to protect the region, it would be a missed opportunity if the plan doesn't come together.
Is it enough that we already have? Maybe, but it can be so much better. And I think sometimes we could sell ourselves short if we don't make the most of what we have.
The organization is also looking for reliable sources of funding to support acquired land, restoration, and maintenance. For Wisconsin Public Radio, I'm Matthew Clark.
Joining us today to talk about the work of the Blufflands Coalition are Eric Johnson, Zoning Administrator from Monona County, Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Marvin Wanders from the Outdoor Recreation Alliance. And Marvin, you know, in the piece we heard about the economic benefits, and we've been talking a lot about those, but, you know, there's also the idea that there are a lot of other benefits to the residents of this area, both physical activity and maybe just, you know, mental health, getting away from the hustle and bustle of it all. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, those kinds of indirect benefits, I guess?
Yeah, and actually, I think those are the real benefits of this. When you can live in our region and within 5 or 10 minutes from your home be on a waterway that's pristine, or you can be up in the bluffs, there's real mental therapy going on there, right? It's very healthy for us to connect with land. A lot of communities that you live, if you want that experience, you have to drive 45 minutes to an hour. In our region, we can literally walk out our back door and jog to the trail or ride our bike to the trail. That connection and how close these natural resources are to our community really gives us a unique, healthy lifestyle. It's also nice for families to be able to get out in the woods with their kids and whatever they may want to do, whether it's playing in a creek or the river, or if it's hiking up a trail or getting to one of the vistas. Those experiences are good for your physical health. They're also good for your mental health, and they're good for just your own serenity, if you will, your quiet inner peace. And so that's very unique how close these resources are to our community core. And I think that's one of the real strategic benefits. The downside of that is when we are that close to a natural resource, we may overlook the real benefits of the natural resource. We're fortunate that this plan helps to protect the natural resources.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously, Charlie, earlier in the program, you talked about how recreation was really important to the survey respondents that you guys had for your, you know, the survey of in the planning process. But, you know, do you think there's room for improvement in engaging more of our area residents?
Oh, definitely. One of the things you think about growing up was, for me, fishing with my grandpa. And he had his secret fishing hole that he absolutely loved to go to, but he didn't tell anybody about. Well, we all have our little secret spots out there that we really like to recreate in, etc. And so you could see some hesitancy as we moved forward with this plan on talking about some of these secret spots. But everybody realizes that, you know, if we love them, somebody else is going to love them too. And so it's just a project to go out and market this to the people that are here. You know, even my family, we've benefited just from these discussions and knowing where some of these trailheads are, where ways that we can get out there quicker and easier and more convenient. They're there. I mean, there are so many opportunities for us. And, you know, we just got to share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Eric, do you think that you know, we are still kind of a hidden gem that people don't necessarily know about the Driftless area and all of the opportunities that are here?
Yes, I think the locals are very much aware of the hidden resources we have. My experience when Winona County revised its comprehensive land use plan, we had similar surveys on the other side of the river, and most of all the survey results that we got during that exercise indicated a very high priority for outdoor bluff-related activities, whether it was looking for mushrooms or berry picking or bird watching or hunting, fishing, all those almost were always on top of the list as far as set of values that they held locally. So any plan that develops those values, I think, are time well spent.
And Marvin, I know earlier you were talking about how trails is part of those six big ideas of the master plan. And, you know, part of that would include a large multi-use trail connecting, most of the bluffs in La Crosse County. What are the advantages and maybe challenges of a multi-use trail versus separate trails for biking or, and hiking?
Well, really, having shared-use trail systems, the key is effective design. And if they're designed effectively and planned well, you can accommodate a lot of different users. Typically, when you have trail-related issues, it's due to poor planning and poor design. And so most of your trail users, whether you're a hiker, a runner, or a biker going through the woods, most of those users have very similar speeds. Conflict may arise if you can't see around a corner or if the trail is going two different directions versus a stacked loop system, which is much more user-friendly and helps to separate user groups, meaning folks that want a real rugged experience versus, a whole family going for a walk in the woods. And so a lot of that can be addressed by design. I think the reason that we heard trails was simply that we don't have enough trails to accommodate the number of people that want to get in the woods. And so as we develop the plan and develop the system, we will spread out user groups and really have mapping that can have one consistent brand. And all of those things, when you couple them together, will really benefit the user at the end of the day and the resource if done properly.
That's Marvin Wanders, board member of the Outdoor Recreation Alliance, here with us today for an update on regional conservation efforts to protect the blufflands. Also joining our conversation is Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Eric Johnson, Winona County Zoning Administrator. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And Marvin, you bring up this the idea of a brand for the bluffs, and I know that a piece of this master plan is uniting everything under one kind of logo that's recognizable. I think Charlie, in the past, you've discussed or described it rather as kind of like a national park-like system, right? Why is branding important in this conversation?
Well, I think, first and foremost, the weakness of poor signage, we've all seen that. And so if we can improve the signage so that people know where they're going, they can make good decisions about what trail systems they want to use, that'll be very helpful. But I think the main thing for the branding is, as Marvin said, economic development. If we can show that this area is second to none as far as the natural features, the natural resources, and then also the facilities that we have, by showing one brand, that will significantly help. People that are out there don't really recognize the borders, the municipal borders, and all of our local municipalities do a wonderful job with their parks and recreation facilities, but they're all different. And so if we can brand them similar, especially similar activities, people use the internet so much now, and that's one big part of this project is being able to go on the internet and just find something easy using your smartphone or your tablet or, you know, anything. We see the craze Pokemon Go at this point. Well, let's get people outside for in many different ways. And so if we use good branding, it's probably not going to take off like that, but it should be something helpful to get people out and about.
Eric, have there been any efforts to do, you know, this kind of branding of the Bluffs on the Minnesota side?
To date, not too much, no. So I think we are interested in exploring that. I think everything from economic development to our park and recreational groups that we have and our private entities, yes. I mean, those are all items that deserve, I think, more consideration.
Mm-hmm. And Marvin, do you think that there are opportunities to, you know, be a place for new sorts of recreational activities, more than just, you know, the kind of standard biking and hiking and that sort of thing? You know, are there efforts to kind of look at other activities that can be accommodated?
There's always going to be new activities and new things people are doing in the woods or on the waterways. And so I think that's going to change over time, how people choose to interact with the outdoors and what activities that they choose to do.
You know, restoration was another piece that, Marvin, you brought up earlier. You know, what kind of currently is being done right now to restore some of these sites, Marvin?
Well, I can give you a few examples, and I'll just go back to Hixson Forest. There's been several controlled burns that have taken place up there. There's groups working on invasive species removal. And it's those type of restoration activities that help connect people to nature. It's fun to go out and do restoration work and get your hands dirty and dig in and take those type of projects on. And there's a lot of groups that are actively working on those things. So those are just two that, you know, right away, but there's restoration activity constantly going on. And that's one thing that I think will develop over time is more and more people will get involved in those activities. Whether it's private land or public land, as they become more aware of it, you know, you may have private landowners that say, well, geez, I didn't even know I had invasive species on my property. What can we do to restore my property to a better state, a more natural state? And so those activities are taking place. They're going to continue to take place. And I think there's going to be more interest and momentum in those activities over time.
And Charlie, you know, yeah, what has the county been doing to, or is planning to do, to look at kind of restoration of these areas?
Well, the best work that's being done in restoration, I believe, right now is by the City of La Crosse. They've got a great staff. If anybody has questions about invasive species, contact the City of La Crosse Parks and Rec Department because they are really good at this. And passionate. The county, we don't have an awful lot of blufflands, and the county's not significantly involved as the City of La Crosse, City of Onalaska, and, you know, other municipalities on the other side of the river. But, you know, this plan will help us to really understand what we have and where the problem areas are and maybe start getting after that a little bit more. Where we see real problems with invasive species at the counties is on the roadsides. So our road crews have real issues dealing with it.
And Eric, you know, what's kind of happening on the Minnesota side as far as restoration of these areas?
Well, we have real concerns too. Oriental bittersweet, that is a species that has moved into southeastern Minnesota, which has the state of Minnesota rather concerned. And as it spreads out, there's efforts now to control large acreages of that pest. We all are aware of the emerald ash borer, the EAB. We're losing a good share of our ash trees to that. It's just not affecting bluff lands, but park lands, the city boulevards, all of the communities in southeastern Minnesota have to create almost a tree plan within their own cities. There's also other diseases, funguses, things of that nature that are all buckthorn is a big invasive that everybody's pretty much aware of that they have it on their property. Those are just, I guess, some of them that come to mind. And, you know, I think everyone has an opportunity to do something, you know, to further the plan, too.
And so, you know, this group obviously is looking at preserving the bluff lands. But, Marvin, I heard earlier that you mentioned, you know, the waterways in this area. You know, how do those kind of come into play when talking about a lot of these conservation and increasing recreation use?
Well, they're connected, right? The natural resource does not know boundaries, and what takes place in the bluffs obviously ultimately ends up in the waterways and the watershed. And so, and a lot of the users, as we've mentioned, they're involved in all the different activities in this area, whether it's a canoe ride or a kayak ride. There's some waterway restoration work that's constantly being taken place. And actually, we, as a community, and we do a pretty good job, I think, of being pretty conscientious about our waterways and what we need to do to protect our waterways. You know, of course, you can't say this on the radio, but we have some of the best trout fishing in the world right in this region, and it's because of restoration of waterways works that's taken place over a long period of time. They're all small trout, and they don't bite very often, so no reason to come here to do any trout fishing. But so we're seeing those efforts, and they do go hand in hand. And I think by as people are engaged with the natural resource, they respect it, and they want to take care of it. And I think that's, you know, part of the connection. So whether it's bluff lands or waterways, you can't separate them.
That's Marvin Wanders, board member of the Outdoor Recreation Alliance, here with us today to talk about regional conservation efforts to protect the blufflands. Also joining our conversation is Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Eric Johnson, Winona County Zoning Administrator. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. And so, you know, looking forward, Charlie, kind of what's the next steps right now for the coalition?
Well, right now we're organizing a meeting for August for the coalition to get together and really talk about that. The conversations that we'll probably start to have are on a memorandum of understanding, which is to more formalize the coalition and how we act moving forward, how we govern ourselves, then taking the show on the road. We've met with some of the local municipalities already. I'll be meeting with the county board to talk with them about this as an issue. We've met with other groups that have an interest in this conversation. And so we'll just continue to do that. We'll build that public awareness of this, the knowledge of it, and then at some point the policymakers will decide if it's worth giving that sustained long-term funding to. If they do, then we'll probably have to hire some staff and move forward on projects in the Blufflands, which we hope to do next year.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's really, I guess, the long-term goal? I know that we've talked about how that this isn't something that can be moved on quickly, that this is really like a long-term plan for conservation in the region. But, you know, I guess what's the end game?
To me? well, I think we just keep at it, you know, keep doing the work that we're doing. We've already have 3,000 acres that are protected. Like I said earlier, if we get to 6,000 acres protected, I think, you know, that's a really good goal. But that may be something that seems small at that time in the future, you know. So if we keep moving forward, obviously this is something that the public wants us to do. They're very active out there. They use these facilities, and they want more. Just by the use on these trails, by the amount of use that's there and the fact that we need to do quite a bit of maintenance because there is so much use. So the goal is to spread it out, spread the uses out so that these trails can be a little bit more sustainable, that there is a little less work in maintenance because there is so much use now, and really start to shine as a region, really start to let people know what we have, what we're going to have. And this will allow our employers to bring in better staff and more excited staff, healthier staff. This will allow our schools to have healthier kids, our families to have healthier activities. And I think just as a region, it will benefit everybody in many, many ways.
And Eric, you know, in talking with some of the communities, the municipal governments, you know, what has been the response from La Crescent, from Winona about this plan?
You know, that is something we would like to take to some of our groups in the future after we really have, the plan ready for dissemination. My goal as far as bluffland planning is to be in the position where you have willing, interested property owners that can really take advantage of a full array of options. And I think that is really what, you know, Winona County or the role that I see, you know, with this plan.
You know, Marvin, earlier in the program you talked about, you know, these things are happening already, but, you know, it's a process, you know, it's a moving through the necessary steps, and it's not something that can necessarily happen pretty quickly. You know, is that frustrating, I guess, to not be able to kind of move on these decisions quickly, but instead need to kind of take the time to find the funding, find the necessary stakeholders to be willing to jump, I guess.
Yeah, so of course things never happen quick enough, but the reality is we're headed down the path, and we have a lot of people that have a serious commitment to this. We know it's good for the community. We know it's good for the region. We know it's good for the people that live here. And so it's worthwhile to spend the time and energy to slowly, methodically continue down this path so that long term we have a great product. And when I say great product, you know, if 30 years from now, 40 years from now, there's young people saying, I don't know who came up with this idea, but I'm sure glad that they did, because this is an awesome place to live. You know, is that too slow? I don't know if that's too slow or not, but we should go slow and be conscious of what we're doing, and at the same time be deliberate to move things forward.
And Charlie, I know that we've talked about a number of surveys and different public information meetings that the group has held over, you know, the last year or so. Are there going to be more opportunities for people to kind of weigh in on some of these decisions?
I think it's going to be on the public to kind of keep their eyes open. It doesn't look like we'll be holding more public open meetings like we did on this plan. But there will be plenty of meetings where we'll be talking to the city of Onalaska or the city of La Crosse or the town of Madary, the town of Dresbach, things like that, and presenting this product, this plan, and these goals, and seeing if they have the political will to support it financially. If the public's interested in seeing it happen, they should go to those meetings and encourage their policymakers to decide that way. And if they feel the other way, they should go and encourage their policymakers the other way. So it really is at this point for them to keep their eyes open, for the public to keep their eyes open for the meetings, and if they're passionate about this, to go and let their policymakers know their feelings.
Do you worry about fatigue at all from the public of, you know, a lot of people are interested in it now and have been, you know, talking about the plan when it came out earlier this summer? You know, do you worry that people will kind of move on to the next thing and kind of forget that this is still a movement, I guess?
This is a group of people that don't fatigue easily, both literally and figuratively. The passion is there, but that's always a worry. And so we always have to keep it interesting. We always have to keep it in front of people and keep that knowledge base there. I think the more trails we build, the more interest we'll build. The more opportunities we give for people to get out in nature to recreate, the more we will build a base of people that really want to do it. And so the goal is to just kind of get that sustainable wheel rolling.
And Marvin, I, you know, saw you chuckle at Charlie's comment that you cannot be fatigued easily. You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I don't know that you're going to have this group of people that are going to get tired for doing the right things. Right? They're going to keep their nose to the grindstone and keep moving this forward, because it's good for the region, it's good for the community, and it's good for them and their family. And so, for people that are passionate about getting outside and connecting to nature, whatever, and however they choose to do that, you're not going to take that away from those folks, and they're going to keep forward on moving forward on the mission. And they're passionate. Charlie's definitely very correct. They're passionate, and they have their perspective on how it should be done, and that's fantastic, too. The more people that are involved and engaged, the better off we'll be as a community, and better off the resource will be.
We've been talking with Marvin Wanders, board member of the Outdoor Recreation Alliance, Charlie Handy, La Crosse County Planner, and Eric Johnson, Winona County Zoning Administrator, about what the Bluffland Coalition is doing to preserve and promote the region's blufflands. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto. Our senior news editor and producer is John Davis, and our student producer is Matt Clark. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to more information about the Blufflands Coalition and their plans for the area. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.